First foot down for North Carolina. Guess what? What's been worth? Welcome to another edition of the 6 Point Weekend Podcast. This is episode number 42. We are recording live here at London Bridge Pub, where there are lots of games going on this evening. U.S. national team, U.S. men's national team is playing. Carolina Hurricanes have another big game for their playoff push happening tonight. And so a lot of folks here are watching those games on the other side. Joining me here on the pod this evening, we have Ebony.
Hello.
And we have special guest Sterling.
Hey, everyone.
And Seth.
How you doing?
Friends of the pod.
Friends of the pod, yes. Friends
Sometimes
of the pod.
Listening gets you cool things.
Absolutely. Ebony,
yeah.
Who brings us here today?
We're brought to you by Tasty Beverage Company right here in downtown Raleigh. They've got some really good beer right now. Zillicoa just came out with a beer, and they've got it in stock. Trophy just came out with a new beer that we get tonight, guys. You're going to love it. We're also part of the Beautiful Game Network, BGN.FM, and we're still friends of the pod on Soccer and Sweet Tea.
Insert audio of Jonathan saying hashtag SNSTFam here.
And we're still on Patreon, patreon.com/6pointweekend. And because Justin still pays us, 6 Point Weekend is brought to you by whiskey, because no good tailgate story started with a glass of milk.
Justin's got some good questions for us coming up later, but right now we are going to start talking about the weekend's action friendlies happening this past weekend. We'll start with North Carolina FC and their Friendship Cup friendly against Necaxa of Liga MX. And, you know, have had quite a few Mexican clubs come here in really the long history of this club, including, you know, when they were the Railhawks. I remember a game in, against Ray where the entire supporter section was overrun by Monterrey supporters, and there's 12 of us sitting and trying to shout, basically. But every year it's the same thing. It either... we play completely defensively and it ends in a 0-0 draw, or we get run off of our own pitch. And that didn't happen this time.
Yeah, there was quite a stark difference from previous years. One, you know, there were obviously, you know, a lot of Mexican supporters there, but they weren't as overwhelming as they had been in the past. And we didn't play that defense game. We didn't park the bus from minute three. We went on the attack there very early.
We certainly did. And you mentioned the Mexican fans. Necaxa's not a particularly big club.
No, it's not. When you compare the Monterrey, who came here a few years ago, and Atlas 2017, we started the season off with, Necaxa's a very small club. They've only been up since 2016 when they defeated Club Ciudad Juarez in the Ascenso final to move up. And that was before the whole Liga MX changed their promotion system to include financials. I, from what I saw online, the practice and everything, I was very surprised that they had that type of support.
Well, they certainly did, but they didn't have as good a team as we thought they did. We're burying the lead here. North Carolina FC won this game. We beat a Liga MX side. This is, I think, the first time that that I can recall that we've done that. And so we won that game 2-1. We came out again in the longleaf pine formation, although in this case... there was one particular branch that stretched all the way out to the right.
What do you mean?
Manny Perez. He really was hugging the touchline throughout this entire game, and it seemed like he was there just to create width throughout the entire game. And he was incredibly successful at it. He got the assist, really, on both of those goals.
I mean, you mentioned Manny. It was... a very young squad we put out there.
Yes.
A lot of academy players, a lot of young guys that we just signed. A lot of lot of players that you probably will see as a as your starting 11 for like a US Open Cup run.
Yeah, and they were super impressive though. I mean, I think if there were any questions, you know, coming in the first couple of games of whether or not this squad has depth, I think we saw it over the weekend.
Oh yeah.
And what Chuck was saying earlier, that this particular club, this particular performance, at least by these young players, will have a lot of the starters, you know, looking at them and thinking, oh, we got to step it up because, you know, we might lose our jobs if we're not careful, if we're not continuously performing. So, and, you know, you look at someone like Manny Perez, who was surprisingly, well, maybe not that surprisingly, but he was dominant on the right side. And then you look at Austin Pancho in the midfield, Caleb Duvernay.
Left back, yes.
he had a fantastic game at left back. DJ Taylor also had a great game. He was one of our he's one of our usual starters, starter at right back, but he had quite a performance in this one as well.
So did Graham Smith, who just came back from injury.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the captain's armband. He was phenomenal in the midfield. Christo finally got to start. I was very excited about that. He looks like he's game fit now.
Right.
Because at the beginning of the season, not so much. Maybe you got like a good 5 minutes out of him, which we did in the first game. He came on and scored. But to see him start and get active minutes and actually press up the field and forward that we really wanted him to be, I'm excited. And McLeod. Oh, my God.
Yeah, when you talk about McLeod, I mean, you know, that comment you made about those regular starters better watch out. Tambakis, man, you gotta be prepared. You gotta keep that game up because McLeod's coming for you. Because, you know, at the end of the day, there can only be one.
As we found out last year with Austin Guerrero. But
yeah, that's
that
true.
Worked out well against the amateur, and it worked out well in Charlotte. So with McLeod, I mean, this is a guy who didn't play a lot in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And I'm very pleased to play so well. Ready to see him. May is the Open Cup.
Yeah, the Open Cup starts in May.
So ready to see him play.
This game got me unusually excited for the Open Cup this year. I mean, the fact that we're going out and beating a first division Mexican team, you know, I'm just thinking, bring on some MLS sides. I want to see how this side compares now to, you know, the MLS teams that come here or that we have to go face.
I mean, if McLeod is going to do what he did versus the Coxa versus some MLS teams, I'm all for it. I will. Because he made some phenomenal saves towards the end of that the game, especially when the Coxa scored and got and made it 2-1, and they were just pushing and pressing so hard. And our back line did a great job of standing up to that pressure, but McLeod made some phenomenal, so excited.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, fantastic performance by NCFC. A couple notes here from Chuck. For those who weren't able to make the game, Chuck is vouching for the depth and the hunger of this squad. There is a preferred starting 11. I think we knew that going in.
Yeah.
You know, you've got veterans like Deleuze and Spies and Miller. And, you know, and Tommy McCabe has been really effective so far, you know, in the middle of midfield. Donovan Awolo's been quality. Marios Lomas, aside from taking penalties, has been quality.
Dre got some time, and he's coming back from an injury from
that's
the
right,
preseason.
Dre Fortune.
So it's there. I have nothing but good things to say, which is odd. I haven't had to do that.
Yeah, I know. We've been stuck with Colin Clark for so long. It's like you're just not used to seeing a team.
Colin who?
Yeah, I wish I could say that. But it's like we're finally getting used to a team where you can see there is a plan. You can see there is, you know, good solid coaching involved, and you can see there's a lot of young players here who are really really hungry, and I think that bodes very, very well for the rest of this season. And this is going to be a huge confidence boost for all of them. So that's I'm so looking forward to what's next at this point. Dave Sarakin, our new head coach, talked at the Meet the Team event and said he was a bit surprised at the effort that his side put out. And I don't know why he would be, because there are a lot of players here who are really trying to really prove themselves. I mean, you look at the rookies that were out there. You know, Austin Pancho, who scored the opening goal. Caleb Duvernay, who scored the second goal.
Which was phenomenal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was a great goal. That was a lot of youth to pro connection right mm-hmm. there.
Right.
So.
And then Timmy Mayle, another rookie from mm-hmm. Indiana, who's aside Sam Brotherton, who I think this is his first pro season in the U.S.? I know he played at Wisconsin for college. I'm trying to remember if he actually played any pro ball in the U.S. before this. I don't think he did. So, I mean, he's a rookie as well in that regard. You know, Tommy McCabe is, I believe, also a rookie.
Yes.
So, I mean, you got a lot of young players. You got a lot of hungry players. And you have, like, just enough good veteran leadership on. I think it's proving to be a great combination.
Yeah, and, you know, talking about the comments that Dave made at the Meet the Team event. So, you know, I had an opportunity to speak to a couple of the players, and they said that the locker room is different now. That there is, you know, that energy that we see on the field obviously is in the locker room, and they say the vibe is completely different for a multitude of reasons right now. Some reasons they were kind of reluctant to talk about, so I'm not gonna disclose some of that. I don't want to throw some of those guys under the bus.
I'm sure one of those reasons is bald and Northern Irish, but please continue.
We won't talk about it.
No, we won't talk about that.
Yeah, but I mean, you see it, right? You see it. So to be honest, I'm not surprised that they played so well against Necaxa, because they're feeling it right now. And I kind of hope that keeps going with us for a while.
Definitely hoping it keeps going through next week, because next Saturday is the Southern Derby Cup. First Southern Derby Cup match against the Charleston Battery.
If you haven't seen the graphic that Zach made explaining it, we're going to post it again later on for you all to see. If you don't know what it is, so it's between us, the Charleston Battery, and Matthews, even though they've never won it. It's the home and away, so the team with the most wins, most points at the end, wins the cup.
And we are the current holders.
We are the current holders.
NCFC are the current holders.
Yep. We have never, for every year that we've been in the league and we've participated, we have never lost it. And I want to continue that tradition.
And I think the players have a sense of how, you know, important that tradition is. I think, you know, even though we're just now coming back into, you know, that tradition,
right,
you still get the sense that a lot of players understand, yeah, Charleston's coming to town. This is a big deal. This is a big deal for the fans, and it should be a big deal for the players as well, because Charleston's a good team. You know, Charleston is has 2-0-1 at this point to start the season. I believe they got a draw last weekend against
Tampa Bay.
Yeah. But that was a home draw against Tampa Bay, so they're drop points at home. But this is a good team coming in. They finished fourth last year. Most of the roster is still intact from last season's squad. So this is going to be probably their toughest challenge yet in the league.
Yeah, I think, you know, in my opinion, I think this is going to be Dave Sarakan's first real test as NCFC's manager because of the things you pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been consistently good. You know, they came out of last season fourth in the Eastern Conference. They went to the playoffs, that sort of stuff. But, you know, in particular, one of the things that I kind of wanted to point out about the team is that, you know, they haven't had a lot of high turnover as compared to us, right? So they have that consistency, you know, coming into the game. And, you know, it's the Southern Derby Cup. They are, you know, the most winningest of the three teams that are currently in there. So there's that to play for them, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But in particular, there are two players that I want to kind of talk about that's already kind of showing value for club and country for them. So Zico Lewis from Bermuda and AJ Patterson from Grenada, they're both called up last weekend for international duty for the CONCACAF Nations League. And, you know, Lewis went on to score in that victory 3-1 in the 15th minute. So with that and the previous game against Hartford in league play, he's showing that he's an early consistent scorer, because in that game he also scored within the first 20 minutes or so. And then with Lewis, the defender there, he went on to score a goal. Also, Patterson, who played for Bethlehem Steel, was also able to score a goal for Grenada when he played in international play this week. So they're coming in with some proven guys, some guys that have that international experience. And I have some concerns for us going into that, because we do have that young squad that's still kind of meshing together. And, you know, those first couple games for everyone else are just kind of getting together, getting adjusted. And I think, you know, Charleston is there also. They're getting together. They're getting used to it. And I think, you know, with that consistency that Charleston is bringing from last season, that could prove to be some struggles for us coming up here this week.
You mentioned international players. So Chester is coming back from international.
Chester.
Yes.
From the national. They didn't win.
No. 0-0. But he played 90.
Yeah. Which is good to see, because we were all concerned about, like, we all know he has raw talent. He has raw speed. He is really good with
Absolutely.
The ball at his feet. He's fast, probably faster with the ball at his feet than without it, which is kind of like Kristen Press a little bit. But I'm excited to see that he's getting these full games and we have more attacking options, because now with Lomas, he's being proven as a goal scorer for us now. It's coming from everywhere. Like, it's coming from the back to the front. Like, he's playing his style of game that he wants, and I like it. I like that Sarakin he has a style, he knows what he wants to do with it, and he's implementing it, and the players are buying into it. So while, like I understand your concerns, because, you know, international duty kind of raises your game a little bit more, and it helps raises the game of the people around you too. But we have some proven talent on our squad as well that's really having fun playing soccer right now. And
that said, I don't necessarily see the starting lineup changing from 2 weeks ago.
No,
I don't think anyone's done anything to lose their starting positions at this point. So, I mean, unless there's a late scratch of some sort, someone picks up a knock, I think we'll see the same 11 we saw against both Louisville and Bethlehem Steel.
So you're seeing a long leaf pond.
I think they're going to continue that until someone breaks it down. I think there's no reason not to keep coming out in that formation as long as it's working. And, you know, as long as it's absorbing the pressure from other teams. And Charleston will bring some pressure.
Absolutely.
No question. So as long as it continues to absorb pressure and create counterattacking opportunities, I think we're going to continue to see that formation. And I think it could very well produce some results.
I know we said Chester didn't win this weekend, but I think it's important to note that they did not lose. They drew against a Moroccan team that's qualified.
Is this the AFCON?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is CAF. So he went 90 minutes for a team who was getting points in their table. So it's good that he got the experience while his teammates were also getting great experience against other international level talent in the COXA. So I don't want to say that he lost, because I think that undermines what his small African nation has done. They definitely came out a winner in that situation, because Morocco is no slouch in CAF.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Did I say lose? Oh, my bad. I don't think I said lose. Oh, yeah, my bad. I was like, all right. So I understand. So I do apologize, because right now a lot of our fans from overseas are coming from Chester signing here. Like, there was a girl in the front row that had the Chester signs.
Yeah, I saw that, and
wow.
I was surprised. Like, yeah. I didn't know where that came out from. I mean, I'm very happy to see it, of course. You know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If we, you know, however many Model Line fans want to come here and check out Chester playing, sure, come on out. You might only see him for 20 minutes, you know, in the next few games, but you'll definitely see him.
Is it because of that quickness? We're just not going to be able to keep our eyes on him?
I think part of it's because of that quickness, he might end up being a super sub. He might end up playing the role of someone who can come in and change the pace of the game. Kind of like you mentioned Kristen Press. It's kind of like Press is doing lately for the U.S. women's team, where she comes on and completely changes the pace of the game and completely changes the attack. I could see Chester possibly doing the same thing for NCFC.
Yeah, and it goes back to that incredible depth we have right now, right? So, like, I don't want you to get me wrong when I talk about that, you know, lack of international experience, but we definitely do have some talent out there, and we are going to make some moves and rock some boats this season.
So this is going to be a big one for us this weekend against Charleston. Perfect Southern soccer weather planned for Saturday night. It'll be about 70 degrees, decent breeze, low humidity, no chance of rain, slightly overcast skies becoming clearer as the night goes on. It's going to be a great night.
And now to sports.
For some food. And now to sports. Yes. So. All right. Anything else we want to talk about NCFC related?
I mean, no. It was a friendly. It was a friendly. We won. We were a small crowd, but we had some fun in the stands. We got to light off smoke for the two amazing goals.
Yes.
I'm happy with that.
So shout out to the rookies, Austin Poncho, friend of the pod, and Caleb Duvernay, scoring goals against a Mexican side, Mexican first division side. It's a fantastic way to start a pro career, even if it is just a friendly.
Yeah.
It's still a pretty big result.
Yeah.
So we look forward to seeing what NCFC is going to do against Charleston, and we're going to go ahead and take a break right here. And when we come back, we will talk about the Courage basically destroying Orlando yet again.
And we'll answer questions and maybe talk about the Canes a little bit, because they're on a hot streak.
And they're also on the TVs in here right now.
Yeah.
So I think that's why we're trying to get through this pod pretty quickly. We'll be back in a bit. Welcome back to 6 Point Weekend, the official podcast of Oak City Supporters. We're going to spend this next segment talking a little bit about the North Carolina Courage, who chalked up two more preseason wins since our last show. Last Wednesday, they had a friendly at Wake Forest. As you would expect, Courage were completely dominant in that one, won the game 4-0. It was Wake Forest. Okay. I mean, you don't expect a pro team to struggle against a college team. And this team, of course, Paul Riley has them firing on all cylinders. It was mostly backups that were starting in this one. Aside from goalkeeper, Katie Rowland was starting in goal. But your starting defenders, Haley Harbison, Kaylee Kurtz, Liz Eddy, Ali Haran. And then in the midfield, they had Meredith Speck, Denise O'Sullivan, Kristen Hamilton, Lynn Williams, and Leah Pruitt, draft pick, yep, up top. We're missing a midfielder here. Yeah, Carrie Recaro is who we're missing.
There we go.
Because she scored a goal here in the 24th minute. I see the note. It says so in the notes here. Kristen Hamilton.
That's my fault, guys. My bad.
So Kristen Hamilton scored two goals in this one as well. And Julia Spetsmark came in the 79th minute and scored her second goal.
Her first of the season. She doesn't score a second until Saturday.
Didn't she get one against UNC?
Did she?
Not against UNC, against Clemson.
Maybe.
I believe she got a goal against
Clemson.
Well,
none of their games have been streamed or anything. I have no idea.
That was the one during the tailgate.
Yeah, that was during.
Right. I don't remember that
was during. That was during the tailgate. I believe we saw her score in that one. So, but let's go ahead and fast forward to last Saturday. Courage taking on the Orlando Pride. If this is a harbinger of things to come, we could be looking at yet another amazing Courage season. A 4-0 win for the Courage over the Pride. It was mostly the starters that were in this lineup. Stephanie LeBay, yep, was started in goal. You had Merritt Mathias, Abby Dahlkemper, Abby Ersig, and Meredith Speck filling in for Jay Hinkle, who I believe has a bit of an ankle knock at this point. So she hasn't played as much in the preseason as probably as Paul Rowley would like her to play. Then in midfield, you had Sam Mewis, Denise O'Sullivan, Crystal Dunn, Kristen Hamilton, and then Jess McDonald and Lynn Williams up top. And they were dominant.
I can only speak about the second half because I came in for after the tailgate to watch that. Sat in a north stand. That was fun.
Yeah, so sitting in that north stand, I think I was all distracted from the game. I had a little bit of nostalgia going on because it kind of reminded me of the initial season for me coming out to the Railhawks and sitting with TSF to the left of that, and then that first season with OCS right behind there in the north stand. So I was kind of distracted, just kind of thinking about that, and I don't know where I was for that 45 minutes of that second half, but I really wasn't paying too much attention to the game for some strange reason.
Well, I get it. I was sitting over there. I was like, man, I forgot what the view was like from over here.
Yeah, it's definitely different from sitting where we usually sit now.
Yeah, I'm going to like it, though.
Yeah, but so I bought my season tickets for the Courage in that section, so I'm looking forward to
to
sitting there for the rest of the season for the Courage.
Seat buddies? Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of old school fans going to be in the North Stand for the Courage this season, and they're going to see quite a bit. I mean, Orlando's defense just isn't very good, is it?
No. They've got problems from goalkeeper up. So it's which
is
hurts.
Funny because, you know, one of their goalkeepers, Ashlyn Harris, is, you know, basically going to be on the national team roster.
Yeah.
So it's like, how is she good for the national team and yet?
That's where you're wrong, sir. She's not.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you tell us how you really feel?
I say she's not, but that's because she hasn't gotten a lot of looks yet. But if you're going to base it off of her club play, why would you give her looks? Because if you remember the second goal where she calls for the ball, doesn't do anything with it, so then Alex has to try to clear it. Alex clears it straight up into the air. Ashlyn just kind of like flails her arms a little bit and tries to run out for it, misses it completely. So Lynn Williams just taps it to Jess McDonald, and Jess just puts it in the back of the net.
Didn't she nutmeg someone for that goal?
Yeah, Jess did. She nutmegged the defender.
She nutmegged the defender to score that.
Because Ashlyn was practically at midfield, so it didn't even matter. Like, she was a non-factor. And then Ashlyn just had the nerve to stand up and go, well, Alex. And I'm like, no, you're both at fault.
Okay, first off, if you're relying on Alex Morgan to defend, that's your first problem right there. She's a forward.
Yeah.
You know, she's not going to go back there and bail your ass out if you're a goalkeeper who's struggling. You know, and I think you could tell that Alex Morgan was really frustrated in this game. She got into it with one of the Courage players right before halftime.
I saw she got a yellow. Oh, like, I saw on the big screen because we were outside.
Mm-hmm.
She got a yellow.
She did. She got. Yeah, there was something going on between her and a couple of other Courage players, and she got kind of Ledesma in that situation. So
hey, don't be hating on Ledesma. Don't be hating on him.
What?
Why I'm shouldn't we you. Hate on Ledesma?
You know, okay, we can go off topic for a little bit, but Ledesma, he's a jerk, for real. But he's a jerk that I kind of wish plays for us.
Oh.
Yeah, so maybe no Ledesma hating tonight.
All right.
What do you know, Sterling? Tell us your secrets.
I know nothing. I know absolutely nothing.
That partnership isn't official. It's not.
It's not.
It was only reported, so.
Well, I mean, there are players over there that aren't getting playing time.
It's not.
Some of them hardly even seen the bench. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Some players are making the bench and not even dressed. Like, they have online warm-ups, but that's about it. I don't even think they have a jersey pack for them.
So, the starters, of course, basically ran the Pride off the pitch in this game. But
so did the subs.
But so did the subs. The subs were quite amazing. This was, like, the first time that we saw Leah Pruitt really in action. And
y'all, I'm
she
excited
was,
for her.
She was impressive.
If you did not see her play, she is phenomenal. And I can see why Paul Riley is so high on her. So
there
right now
there was a goal happening in the background somewhere.
Right now we're watching the Canes game, and apparently the Canes scored. No,
it couldn't have been
not
the Canes.
On our television.
No. Not on our television.
The U.S. soccer game started.
That might be the U.S. soccer game where something happened.
That's true.
We'll have to go and look at that later.
Oh, Foot Mob 1-0, Pulisic in the fourth minute.
Oh,
of course it's Christian
Pulisic. Of
course it's
Pulisic. We'll talk about that game in a second.
Right.
So let's...
But just finishing up with the courage.
Yeah.
It's not just that, and it's not just Leah Pruitt that had a great game. Julia Spetsmark came on and was really quite dominant. She had she came on and basically bullied all of the defenders that were around her and took the ball away from them in the box at least two or three times. So she is going to see probably more playing time than we expect this season. She's playing. Liz Eddy has also had another really good game. And of course, we mentioned Leah Pruitt. She looks like she has the potential to be maybe another Ashley Hatch. Maybe, I don't know if that's too big a reach, but it's a lot to live up to considering Hatch was Rookie of the Year for us two seasons ago. But I can see why Paul Riley is excited for Leah Pruitt. So, again, another great performance for the Courage, and they will open their season on April 13th against the Chicago Red Stars, and we hope to get a big crowd. I think we'll probably get a big crowd for that one. I think a lot of people after last season are ready to see if the Courage can pull off an off this year.
Especially because they're playing Charlotte. I mean, not Charlotte. Ooh.
Chicago.
Ooh. Chicago. Ooh, wrong team. I'm sorry, guys. They're playing Chicago, who they played in the semifinal last year. And of course, that Sammy Rockets only. That was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, it'll be a fun game.
Chicago might be looking for a little bit of revenge. We've knocked them out of the semifinals twice in 2 years.
Is the field going to be Chicago quality for them? Because you know they're picky.
Oh, yeah, you know.
Yeah, they are very picky.
Let's make sure that it drains properly. We added some new drains along the side. Let's make sure this field looks immaculate for them. I want nothing but the best for our guests, you know?
Nothing.
Well, it is hurricane season still, just a different type around here.
Yeah.
It's a very different hurricane season right now, yes.
For what, for that is still continuing. We have not said that in a long time.
That is true. That is true. All right, let's move on to 6PW picks. We're going to make some predictions for this weekend's game against Charleston. Chuck has come in and said 2-1 to NCFC. Ebony, who you got?
3-1 NCFC.
All right. Sterling, who you got?
You know, I'm going to play both sides here. I'm going to say 2-2 in my head, but in my heart, I'm hoping for 3-0 NCFC.
Ooh.
Oh, my. I think we might see it this weekend. I think seeing a lot of the rookies play so well against Necoxa will inspire the veterans to push even harder. So I'm going to say 2-0 to NCFC. So,
wow.
Seth, you got a call on you want to make on this one?
Yes, I will say 2-1 NCFC. I think a draw and then a Mario's blue shell in the 89th, 90th minute.
All right. That sounds good. All right. So those are our picks. We will basically tally everything up next week, and hopefully Chuck will be able to tell us what the standings actually look like. So Jonathan and KP, they didn't have picks this week, or do they?
No, we'll go bug KP in a second.
Yeah, KP's in the other room right now watching the Canes game, so we'll go bug him for a pick later.
We'll get him at the end to tell us what his picks are.
Yeah. All right, moving on now to Ask 6PW, brought to you by the London Bridge Pub, where we are recording this podcast right now.
And watching all the sports.
And watching all the sports and eating all the food.
Oh, it's so delicious.
Oh, my goodness. The bangers and mash, the fish and chips.
I just had her new sausage rolls. Oh, my God, yes. With the gravy and the horseradish sauce. Thanks for the tip. That was amazing.
That was quality. Yes, indeed. All right, so... Brian on Facebook doesn't really have a question.
Didn't ask any questions.
Didn't really ask any questions. He just had a lot of things to say. So Brian says, the Courage are really effing good.
Fact.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. Katie Rowland needs to get called up. That makes two goalkeepers that we need to campaign for. All right. Are we surprised that Katie Rowland's not getting a call up, considering how many shutouts she's had for us?
A little bit. But she also doesn't call up Adriana French much either. So,
and Adriana French is generally a pretty good goalkeeper.
Yeah.
She did have that one gaffe against England, but...
She also had a lot of gaffes against the Courage, but...
No, that's true. That is true. Brian also says, we're going to have to learn a whole new Courage roster during the World Cup. I don't think it'll be a whole new roster. I think we'll still see a lot of familiar faces out there. I don't think... Lynn Williams isn't likely to get called up.
8 of our 11 starters will potentially be gone for the World Cup.
But still, we're still going to have Denise O'Sullivan out there. We'll still have Lynn Williams out there. We'll have Kristen Hamilton. Jay Hinkle will be around. Good chance Merritt Mathias will still be around. Katie Rowland will still be around. I think we'll still see a lot of the core Courage players, you know, sticking around through that World Cup stretch. So I think I think this team, considering how well, you know, some of the reserves have been playing here in preseason, I think the Courage are going to continue to do well during that stretch. Brian also says, it was great to see a men's friendly that we actually set out to win. I would think we set out to win all of them. It's just that we weren't good enough for many years, or we were playing Mexican sides that were a lot better than Necaxa was. So there's that. The men's team has a good bit of cover, and the question of who is our best player at a given position is still undetermined. You agree with that?
No. Alex Tambakis. That is the answer.
As good as McLeod was, and he was pretty good.
Yes.
Tambakis is still definitely the starting keeper.
Oh, yes.
So
we can't campaign for him to be on the Greece national team and then root for his backup at the same time. No, it doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't work like that. So Sam Brotherton looked really strong, even with a new center back pair. And, of course, Brian at the end saying, McLeod, 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 which was the only chant we could come up for on short notice.
Yeah.
McLeod. We couldn't really think of anything great for him. And I wish we could, but...
I mean, we're going to have to, because he's definitely going to be our Open Cup keeper.
So, oh, yeah.
It's something we'll work on. Now we know.
So, Alex on Facebook asks, what are we doing to prevent any golf cart attacks from the assault and battery?
Well, I think we're going to start by making sure that the owner doesn't show up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't he still in jail? He still owes money. They tried to pawn off the Southern W just to pay his bail.
Is he driving or is he taking the bus?
Oh, good question.
And I think the best thing we can do is we get the PNC staff to bring all the cones over.
Yay, there you
That's
go.
What we can do.
Because if that shit's not confused, God, it'll make any sane person want to run them over. Yeah. Trust me. Ugh.
But in all seriousness, Alex continues, how did Manny and DJ lining up on the same side of the field played out? Kind of thought they played the same role, but it seemed to work out well in the friendly. I felt like Manny was providing a lot of the width in this game, and DJ Taylor had some space to run into inside as a result.
Well, they were definitely a lot of overlapping from them, but with Manny pushed up more, he had more. He was doing definitely a lot more of the weaving in and out, because DJ just goes straight forward no matter what. But they played really well together on the same side, and I enjoyed it. They definitely produced a lot of good moments out of that game.
And whenever they got forward, you could tell that Graham Smith and Victor, I'm probably going to butcher this, Igbokoye? I believe that's how you pronounce it. And apologies to Victor if you're listening. You know, let us know if we got that wrong. But they were providing a lot of the cover on defense. So they seemed like they were staying back while Taylor and Perez were attacking. I think that helped a lot.
Yeah, and I was initially surprised to see how far up Manny was pushing. But if you consider the game before, DJ seemed kind of a little bit more reserved. He would kind of push into about the center of the pitch, but he would stop. He wouldn't push as much forward as we've seen him done in the past. So I think that pair is kind of complementing each other, especially with that how far inside the attacking half Manny's willing to run up there.
So do you think him and Miller fight it out for a spot?
That's a good question. I don't know yet. What do you think, Seth?
Miller's had nothing but praise from Dave. How do you unseat that when someone's been publicly praised? You know, I know Manny, and I said this before the season, we have a lot in stock in Manny for a player that we don't even own. He is on loan, but he is the poster boy for what the team is selling in that youth to pro.
Yes.
And he is a U.S. national team player, and he plays for Celtic. That's three, and he's an NC State grad. Well, NC State former student. So that's a lot of buttons to push and appeal to a lot of fans. So I think there is a way Manny gets in the lineup.
I think we might see a bit of a rotation, especially in April when we're playing, you know, so many expansion teams and two teams in April. So
are we calling Charlotte an expansion team?
I said expansion teams and two teams.
They're not a two team.
They're not. They're not.
No, they that.
They're no longer Rapids two.
No.
I mean, once a two team, always a two team.
Not true.
True. Huh. Well, they're definitely the two team in North Carolina.
Ooh.
So, but I could see a rotation coming in. I could see a rotation happening where Manny Perez gets some time and someone and either Miller moves up to spell Ben Spies or gets spelled himself just for a little bit. And, you know, maybe they split time there where someone plays 60 and someone else plays 30. It all depends. You know, it depends on who has the hot hand, who looks better in training. We'll see. But right now, I still think Stephen Miller is the starter in that position. I don't think he's done anything to lose that position. So Catherine on Facebook asks, I was disappointed to have to skip the game this weekend because I wanted to see McLeod in goal. Tell me what I missed.
So I think, you know, initially I had some concerns during the warm-up period. I mean, obviously you're not expecting, you know, the warm-up to be at 100%, but there were some balls going into the back of the net that I was wondering, you know, are we taking this warm-up super easy or are we just not, we're not ready to, you know, block those balls, right? But then once the game started, that quickly dissipated. And it was a whole different person, I think, on the field that was training. And my initial thought, and I kind of alluded to this earlier, maybe not alluded, I think I said this right out, Tambagas, man, you got to watch it. But in all seriousness, though, I think McLeod is going to be a stellar goalkeeper for us. And I think the Open Cup is going to give him his opportunity to shine and demonstrate what he can do.
It's really good he got that playing time, too, because this isn't last year. When we start the Open Cup, we're not just handed amateur teams anymore. There is a third division now that's professional players.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't Lansdowne boys coming to Wakeman anymore. It could be a Greenville Triumph. So right. I think that's important to remember.
I'm suddenly distracted now by the U.S. team. They're trying to put an attack on Chile. Chile got an equalizer here at some point.
It was in like the ninth minute. We couldn't clear the ball, and he just slots it. He just powered it right into the
It was spicy.
Runner.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Can I cut his mic off?
let's move on, shall we? Simon on Facebook asks, do you think we'll stick to the Christmas tree?
No, we'll stick to the longleaf pine. Simon.
Or do you think at some point we'll throw another formation or two at opponents? And if so, which ones do you think would fit our personnel? I get the sense that it will very likely be some form of 4-5-1.
Yeah.
I think that fits our personnel best at this point, to be honest. I think, you know, we could potentially see a 4-2-3-1 at some point if we want to get to be more attacking. But like I said earlier, I don't see us getting away from this 4-3-2-1 until it stops working.
4-1-4-1?
Possibly.
Line everybody up. Everybody's playing balls into Lomas. Let's do it.
I mean, I think as long as we keep, you know, attacking-oriented players up front, I think this formation is going to work for us for a while because it's very vastly different tactic than we've seen our team play in the past.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a tactic that's working. So absolutely. Let's see how long that continues. Justin on Twitter asks, who is your way, way too early vote for Golden Bro?
For both teams?
Sure.
I'm going to give it to Eddie, the Courage.
Okay. That's a good pick.
Spies for the Deadwells.
I'm going to have to go with Austin for the men's team and J-Mac for the ladies.
Okay.
I'd have to go with J-Mac for the ladies, of course, because she was in our OCS team photo on Sunday.
Yep.
So she is one of our own.
Yes.
And for the men, I would go Chester. I want International Golden Bro. I want the Dead Whale to take a visit around the world.
There we go.
Not sure who my early votes are going to be on the men's side. I think on the women's side, I would definitely give it to J-Mac just because, I mean, she's a fan favorite and she's still coming right out and scoring goals. So Liz Eddie's a good pick too. We might see Denise O'Sullivan pull something out as well. Ooh. I mean, she I think would be a sleeper for Golden Bro. On the men's side, I think you look in that midfield right now. I think you know Stephen Miller's performing very well. Austin Deleuze is continuing his form. Ben Spies has been fantastic so far. And depending what happens, oh, you can't forget DJ Taylor.
Oh, true.
DJ Taylor has been lighting it up lately from the right side, from right back. So that's he might get it as well. All right, another question from Justin. You get to make one change to Salem Stadium at Wake Med Soccer Park.
Trademark.
With no questions asked, what do you do?
You move it from Cary.
Yeah, move it the hell out of Cary and put it in downtown Raleigh. Is that what you're saying?
No, if there's one thing I would change would be infrastructure. Like, it's what we make fun of Cary all the time, but that is a damn good park, and the only thing that's missing is accessibility. Give me another entrance, and I wouldn't mind being there for like another year. But right now, what they have going is not working, and I would love to see some infrastructure change around it so that we can grow as we continue to fight for a stadium downtown.
Yeah, so my answer is probably unpopular and probably a little selfish, but I'd have to say reinstate that smoking area policy, because I know myself and some others, it's getting kind of hard to sneak that smoke in the stadium. I'm not going to say where we're doing it because I know who's listening, but you know, it is what it is, right? So I know there are some talks with the city of Cary to hopefully figure out how to accommodate the few visitors to the park that have not quit that habit. That would be my change.
Well, I guess there's three, and there's two of them that have already happened. Just on the player side, I'm happy the locker rooms got redone over the winter. And in April, they are getting the new benches, the race car seats.
Yeah.
So we are going to look fly out there already with the new scoreboard. But my other change is very simple, and I think is we need to honor the women on our team. I want championship banners for everything they've won, and I want them flying high.
Nice.
That would be very nice. Very nice. Because I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, covered stands. I'd love to have covered stands. The you know?
So it's not that bad of a heat stroke. It's still some shade.
You know, I heard that printed TIFOs can provide cover in the stands.
I kind of wish there had been one in front of me on Saturday because I forgot to put on sunscreen. You can still see the line of my sunglasses on my face from that game. So
I was sitting in the north stand and the sun was beating directly down on me. My lips got sunburned and they hurt so bad. And I started to feel the heat along my neck because I'm getting the heat bumps now. It's bad. I got to do better. So starting next week, we're going to keep sunscreen.
Yes, sunscreen. Wear sunscreen. So, okay. And we also got a question from the club.
What?
North Carolina FC asking us some questions.
Oh, man.
If you were in charge of the USL Championship power rankings, where would you rank us this week? So ooh. Chuck's answer is a three-way tie for first with St. Louis and Tampa. They drew their game. We beat Liga MX side. Only fair. Ebony, what do you think?
I didn't see the power rankings this week. Where were we?
With third.
Third.
With third?
I think St. Louis is number one. I don't remember who's number
two. I mean, I'm
Tampa.
Tampa's two? I'm fine with third because, I mean, we didn't play in league, but we did still flex a little bit to show we're 3-0-0 in all competitions. We're winning. We're beating good sides. That Louisville game was powerful.
That was a party. It was fantastic.
And then to go and take points away from Beth Steele was also really good. So, and then to beat a Liga MX side is really good. So I'm okay with third, just because it wasn't league play.
Yeah, I'd absolutely agree with you. I think where we are right now is pretty appropriate. But had you asked me this question 3 weeks ago with that initial power rankings, I'd have a very different opinion to where they were then.
We were a little bit low in those power rankings after the first week. And basically they said, okay, what else you got?
Yes, they praised the coach and then knocked the team.
Mm-hmm. And then the team came back and won a road game.
Yes.
So there you go.
How silly are power rankings in a format where every team plays each other twice?
Yeah.
Round robin.
Exactly.
The power from the league is making the power rankings too. It's not needed.
We have a table. And, you know, we can debate power rankings till we're blue in the face. What matters is where we are on the table. So, which right now I believe is third behind Tampa and
St. Louis, because they played each other and they tied.
There you go.
With a game in hand.
Yeah,
so
and we have a game
that's
in
right.
hand.
We have the game in hand now.
And
so
only, one goal has gone in all season? Or yep. two?
One, two.
Two, because they got one at the end, right?
Right.
In Louisville, yeah.
All right. Other question from North Carolina FC. Do you think the Southern Derby Cup should expand to include other teams in the South, and why or why not? Chuck had an answer to this one. I'll go ahead and read his first. Nope. I like it being us, Charleston, and Matthews. Richmond is in USL1 now, or else they might have been the only legitimate contender to add. Atlanta is an MLS2 side, and Tampa is so far south. It's north. So to use soccer terms, the state of Florida is New England's 2 side. No thanks. While we have some history with the Rowdies in the NASL, tacking them on now would feel like a pointless gesture. Maybe Memphis or Birmingham, but then we are just adding teams to add them. Might need to give it a few years to see if any natural rivalries come from those two. I kind of think Memphis and Birmingham are both a little bit far away for there to be a natural rivalry.
Yeah, I'm not driving to Birmingham again. I will never do that again.
No.
So, so they're out.
Yeah, I think Chuck had it right when he said nope. He should have just stopped right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just no. I
wish Memphis was a closer drive, though.
Yeah.
Memphis is a fun town. OCS would have some fun out on Beale Street, let me tell you.
So, first of all, we don't have insurance, so no one can die that night. Let's clear that. I'm kidding, guys. I'm kidding.
I think the future of the Southern Derby Cup is an important topic, adding teams. Because this offseason, there was reports of Charleston moving down. And then it wouldn't be a Southern Derby Cup. It'd be...
Just the North Carolina Cup, basically.
Exactly. Or if they do go down, and Greenville's up now, okay, so who gets the cup? If Charleston won it this year, and they did go down, like the rumors said last year, would they take it to League One?
No,
it would be vacated.
Because, I mean, Charleston's got, we found out today, they play for 3 trophies a year, fan trophies, the old Guard Shield, the Southern Derby Cup, and now they have a cup with Tampa.
What? Why?
Something to do with Pirates.
What?
So, I mean, the future of it is something that needs to be talked about.
Well, Charlotte played for 2 cups, the Queen City Cup with Cincinnati.
Yes.
And they played for the Southern Derby Cup. They won the Queen City one last year.
And they have it forever now.
Yeah.
Maybe we can repurpose it. We take everything else from them. So we'll just take the cup.
KP's here. KP, what do you think of all this? Give that man a
I think I've seen it discussed a couple times. I think the big thing with Southern Derby is it needs to be a drivable. Like, it's hard. I know that we've had, everyone seems to think, well, geographically, yes, Florida is south, and, you know, you've got your teams in Tennessee. And I actually would have considered Nashville had they stayed, but they're going to MLS, so that's not going to happen. But I think the Southern Derby should stay with the 2 Carolina teams and Charleston, or... Again, if another Carolina team were to come up or Charleston would go down, whatever, I would keep it to the Carolinas, honestly. And it's unfortunate to see Richmond bow out of it, but again, going changing leagues can do that.
I mean, if Atlanta got another team that wasn't a two team, I'd consider adding them.
Yes. I would give that caveat. If it was like they brought back the Silverbacks and I know.
No,
but
don't bring back the Silverbacks. I mean, don't. What are you talking about?
But you know what I mean?
Don't like wish that evil on
if
me.
It wasn't Atlanta United ATL
UTD
2.
There you go.
TM. I'm assuming the USA just scored.
No, they did not.
I think that might have been a Canes goal, actually.
Oh, thank God.
No, it's good play from the USA right now. We just kind of need to
step it up.
Yeah.
Yes, Southern Derby should be a drivable cup. If we want another one with other teams in the region, we can start a new one. But the Southern Derby Cup should be in the Carolinas.
Yeah, I think if we can drive there in the morning, drive back in the afternoon, you're in our league, we might consider you.
There you go. You heard it here on 6 Point Weekend.
So KP, drivable distance I already told only. The people that you would tell them what your prediction was. So
what is your prediction for NCFC Boston?
I'm going to be bold, and okay. I'm going to say 2-1 Dead Whales.
That's not bold.
Okay, at Dead Whales winning.
three other people have said 2 Dead Whales.
Okay, well, I wasn't here. But okay, so safe bet, 2-1 Dead Whales.
Okay.
All right.
Because he said 3-0, I said 3-1.
He said 3.
All right.
I say 2-0.
3-0 in his heart. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I say 2-0. All right. So we shall see. So that'll be some excitement this weekend. Southern Derby Cup. Hope to see all of you out there for that one. And I believe that just about does it.
Yeah,
for this edition of 6 Point Weekend. Ebony, who brought us here?
We're brought to you by Tasty Beverage Company right here in downtown Raleigh. They still, dark beer season may almost be over, but they still have all the beer you could ever want or
need. All the beer.
They even got Sterling's Lager because he's picky and wouldn't take the IPA we have for today.
Thanks, Tasty.
Yeah. We're also still on the Beautiful Game. We're still part of the Beautiful Game Network, BGN.FM. And we're still friends of the pod on Soccer and Sweet Tea.
Insert audio of Jonathan saying hashtag SNST fam here.
We're still on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Give us a follow if you like what you hear at 6 Point Weekend. I will not read any type of message you leave me on Instagram. Don't do it. you can leave us a review on iTunes, and you can hit the download button on Google Podcasts and Spotify if you like what you hear. I think that's it, guys.
All right. Well, Seth, Sterling, thank you both for filling in today. We hope you enjoyed this, and we hope you enjoy the rest of the games happening up in here in London Bridge Pub this evening.
We got one more announcement. I'm sorry to cut you off there.
Go ahead.
But just as a reminder, Tasty Beverage Company will play host to the Warehouse District Treasure Hunt on Sunday, March 30th at 6 p.m. Start your adventure at Tasty and make your way around the Warehouse District, where you and your team of four will search for clues, solve puzzles, and crack codes to unlock a treasure chest of prizes at the end. Tickets start at $20, so visit Tasty Beverage on Facebook to learn more.
That's, he Tasty did Beverage, the ad read for me.
Hey, there you go.
TastyBeverageCo.com.
Thank you, Sterling, for doing the ad read for me.
And the ad read is done. Yes. And so is 6 Point Weekend. We'll be back next week with a recap of NCFC versus Charleston. I'm Dave.
I'm Ebony.
Sterling.
I'm Seth.
And we will catch y'all next week.
Peace.
Peace.